You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What is up, good people? Welcome to another episode on this fine Friday. No, I haven't lost my mind. These are just extra episodes because I love you. I think you need them. I recorded this episode with Calder Allen at Farewell Fest, which is a country music festival that happens in Redmond, Oregon. My wife and I went there this summer, and we had an absolute blast, and I was able to get in a couple interviews for you while I was there. I really, really enjoyed myself. Big shout out to Farewell Fest for having me out. I really, really appreciate it. You guys were amazing. The festival was absolutely incredible, and if you can get out there, I highly suggest it. They haven't dropped the lineup yet this year, but I am so excited because last year it was absolutely killer, and I found a bunch of new artists, well, new to me artists, that I really want to try to get on the show, as well as some that I did get on the show. So a small bit of explanation, because this is definitely different than a typical episode. I'm actually recording back in the artist lounge area, so there are some background sounds and things that you're probably not used to hearing on this podcast, or at least not for a very long time. So there's some of that going on. And also, this should have been out months ago. I thought that I actually had lost the files. They were kind of corrupted and doing some weird stuff, but I was able to get them recovered. Fortunately, I was so bummed, but I'm so excited that I actually get to release this. So this one is with Calder Allen. The other one was with Brooke in the Bluff, who is just one back in the feed. So if you want to hear that one, go back there and check it out. Calder is an incredible dude. He started writing songs fairly recently, which is incredibly impressive because they are very, very good. And we talk about how fly fishing ties into all of this. Yeah, fly fishing. Would you believe it? Anyway, let's get into this episode with Calder Allen. Let's go. Hello, everyone. This is Blake from the Tone Mob Podcast. I'm here at Farewell Fest, and today I am talking to Calder Allen. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. I caught your set yesterday. It was quite good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, that was my first exposure to your music outside of a few little clips here and there. But usually when I'm talking to somebody new, I like to get their backstory to start, and we just kind of see where it goes from there. So cool. When did you get into music, guitar, and all that stuff?
Well, I got into guitar a little bit before COVID, but really started playing during the pandemic and kind of diving into it, you know, with all the free time. So same thing with writing. I'd always written poems and, you know, little short stories growing up as a kid, but actually songwriting and song arrangements kind of dove deep into that whole realm during COVID.
So this all started just in the last few years. That's really impressive to see you on a stage like this already. How did that start manifesting? Like, most people don't pick up a guitar and then 2 years later find themselves in this situation. So how did that happen?
Yeah, well, you know, my whole dad's side of the family is very musical. And, you know, my uncle's even in my band and he plays Bucca Allen, you know, a little shout out. He plays keys. But, yeah, I mean, my grandfather's a songwriter. My grandmother's a playwright. My dad plays drums. My brother, you know, has records out and stuff like that. So from a very young age, I've been exposed to expression and, you know, music and art, and kind of just divulged myself into the whole scene. As you know,
did you
fell in love with it?
Did you have a sense that you were kind of born for it, since everybody else was doing it,
I don't know if "born for it" is the right word, because you know, it's. I'm trying to think of. I just kind of fell in love with the whole process. You know, I didn't realize how much time I was spending practicing and, you know, writing until it would, you know, be like 4 a.m. And I'm like, oh God, you know, like, so it was right. That whole thing kind of just consumed all my time. I had to do it.
You know? Right. Right.
It's one of those things that... Oh,
there he is.
Who's that?
That's Billy Cassis over here waving at me.
Hello, Billy.
He plays guitar.
Nice.
Bucca, we were just talking about you.
Hey, if anyone wants to jump in, too, they can
Bucca, come here. We were just talking about you. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
This is Bucca Allen.
How are you?
Hello, Buck. How you doing?
A wonderful festival. Calder, it's good to see you. We just got booted off our flight, so we're back.
Oh.
A little food.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, good to see you in any sense.
Good to see you. We had a wonderful show last night.
It was great.
Yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm. Good deal.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Between two ferns. Oh.
I'll try to be slightly less awkward than
exactly.
Zach, but I can't make any guarantees on that for
exactly.
sure. And for the listeners at home, I should probably say I did record here earlier, and it was slightly less people. So there's a little bit of ambient noise, as you've discovered, but I think the old SM58s will probably do us some favors.
Probably
in that
some direct, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. So from that point, did you... Obviously, like you play a lot of acoustic, you do a lot of songwriting. Did you start diving into the ever-deepening world of the guitar gear world at all, the pedals and amps and all that stuff?
You know, I try not to overcomplicate it. You know, when I'm performing, especially, you know, my job as a singer-songwriter really is to focus on, you know, making the song believable and, you know, being honest with myself and as genuine as I can be. So... the simpler, the better for me. So I try and keep it, you know, I have a boost pedal for my electric, and, you know, the acoustic is just a straight DI line. And mm-hmm. So very basic, you know, gets the job done, you know.
Right.
Just kind of solid.
With the guitar, are you going straight into with all the modeling and stuff that's happened now, are you going straight in as well, or do you have a traditional amp setup?
I play with a Tele when I do go to electric, and I go through a Vox Night Train.
Of course. I love the Night Train.
It's awesome. It's small, but it does the thing it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
It has a great gain on it, and, you know. And, you know, I'm also not the person that people should be listening to as far as advice on music gear. I'm, you know, I'm just getting into it. I'm still figuring out, you know, what I like and what works for me. But that's kind of the whole thing I kind of think with it is whatever works for you and whatever you think is, you know.
Well, I mean, some of us get so, and by some of us, I mean me, get so wrapped up into that side of things that sometimes it gets in the way. And I've had to refocus a few times over the years about, like, why did I fall in love with gear in the first place?
Yeah, it's to play music.
Right. It's so not just for the gear, right?
Exactly.
So it's a bit challenging. But the Night Train's actually really interesting because that was in the running for one of my first tube amps ever. I was basically between that and an Orange Tiny Terror.
Nice.
And then both of my friends that were in the band each got a Tiny Terror and a Night Train. So I was like, well, I can't get that. Now what do I do? But I always loved the Night Train. it's a great little amp, and I think it's kind of underrated.
No, it's great. Yeah. I love it.
Do you know what kind of boost pedal you're using off the top of the head? Just because these,
I don't
these
know
are
the exact model,
know.
But it's a Prism. It's the brand's Prism.
It's a Jackson Audio Prism. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, boy. I know.
There you go.
I'm too deep into it. So when you're in the studio, does that change at all, or do you still try to keep it pretty basic?
I mean, you know, studio for me, you know, there's only been a few songs where I've tracked the electric guitar, and, you know, it's all rhythm stuff. I'm not trying to play lead yet or anything like that, but usually it's just, you know, mic on a acoustic guitar, and we build the tracks out from there, or if we're cutting it live, you know, same thing, just like mm-hmm. a microphone on a guitar, and it's, you know, no line in.
Yeah. What studio were you recording in?
I've recorded a few studios, but the official records that the first record was at Arlen Studios,
mm-hmm.
and the second record that's coming out, hopefully either in the fall or next spring, is also at Arlen Studios. But, you know, I've been in other studios and here and there, and, you know, been in a lot of sessions, and you know, it's, you know, trying to figure out that whole world of just different sounds and different places and stuff
mm-hmm.
can consume a lifetime. So
yeah, oh, absolutely.
I try and really, I mean, for me, I really try and focus on like the music and like trying to be present in the moment and not overcomplicate the tech and stuff. And
sure,
that's kind of my approach, but there's, you know, you need everyone to do everything. So
absolutely.
You know what I mean? You need people to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
It all is a collective.
it takes a village to make these things happen it may seem.
No doubt.
Yeah. So who do you draw inspiration from? Obviously, you've got a whole family to draw inspiration from, so that's helpful. But when you're sitting down, or even actually before you start picking up music yourself, who were you listening to get inspiration? Or if it wasn't listening, who were you reading? Because you mentioned you did poetry and some other things.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you draw inspiration from?
All over the place. I mean, you know, usually I can always find something wherever I am to kind of get in that headspace, whether it's even just, you know, trying to be present. But as far as direct inspirations and stuff, I mean, I'm inspired by everyone in my band. I'm inspired by my whole family and all of that whole realm. Specific names, I mean, you know, I'm a big fly fisherman.
Okay.
And, you know, when I was younger, I started watching these fly fishing films, and a lot of the soundtracks to those fly fishing films are, you know, like folk songwriting, mm-hmm. acoustic stuff, and bluegrass, what have you. But so a lot of those types of bands, you know, like Camp, you know, Mountain Joy that just came through here. A lot of the bands playing this festival were, you know, big inspirations, and I've drawn from and. And then there's the other people, you know, it's like Townes Van Zandt, Guy Clark, Blaze Foley, you know, the real, you know, realm of like Southern songwriting and like really stripped down, serve the song bass type thing. You know, one of my biggest inspirations is Charlie Sexton, who's produced, you know, both projects that I've been working on the past few years. And, you know, seeing, you know, the people I'm closest to that I have the most access to that I can really, you know, divulge their information and like get into their own heads. That's kind of the easiest way for me to get inspired. And then of course there's songs that do that, you know, Chris Whitley records and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And of course, Tom Petty, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't go wrong.
Yeah. But, yeah, the name thing gets weird because there's so much and there's so much information and there's so much room for a bunch of people to inspire you. And so it's, you know, it's really one of those things where it changes every month and it changes on what I'm listening to. And, you know, the catalog gets bigger as far as inspirations.
Do you think there would anybody that people, upon listening to your record, do you think there's anyone that people would be surprised about? Like, oh, I'm a huge death metal fan or something like that. That's a little more off the wall.
You know, that band called The Who, but with an H-U?
Yeah. Yep.
They got cool records.
All right.
I like them.
I like them. They are cool. Yeah, they're the Mongolian kind of throat singing. Yeah, that stuff is intense. Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff. And then, you know, I mean, like, each record would be so different. But, like, really, like, the whole Chris Whitley catalog is super cool as far as that, because it just goes, you know, different. He's a true expressionist. But mm-hmm. So many people, it's hard.
It is. It's like, what's your favorite band, man? Like,
it's like, I have no idea.
Yeah, good try. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a difficult question to answer, too. So when you're writing, though, do you pull from other places as well outside of music? Do you have other art that you really enjoy or really speaks to you?
Well, yeah, typically when I'm writing, you know, all of those, you know, so-called like inspirations and role models, they kind of leave my head. It's the only time really in my life that I'm, besides playing music, but just music in general and writing, where I'm sitting down, I'm completely present in the moment. And, you know, where I draw from typically is, you know, an indication of where I am. So
yeah.
Whether it's outside and I just, you know, I've been on the river all day or something like that, or whether it's, you know, I've been driving for 12 hours and I'm just humming in the car, you know, just different things I'm seeing, you know, different lines, different things. And they just come from all over. And it's hard to kind of explain where they come from, you know. Because, you know, some songs, they just, you know, it's like, you know, 15 minutes, you got a song. And then other songs, it's like, okay, I'm still working on songs I started like a year ago. So it's very, you know, song-oriented as far as what the song's going to give you.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes.
I never try and force it. You know, I work hard to, you know, try and come up with things. But, you know, it has to be genuine. I have to really believe what I'm saying. And I'd really try and not make something happen that's I'm not, you know, believing in or can relate to.
Sure. Yeah, it's one of those things. I totally understand what you mean, where the song comes out and then you stand back and go, huh, did I really do that? Was that me? And you have to wonder sometimes where that...
Here's one of my inspirations, Billy Cassis.
Oh, he's...
You ain't coming? You're dehydrated?
All right. We'll let you off the hook this time. But yeah, so it feels like it almost comes from somewhere outside of yourself, and you're almost more of an antenna than or a conduit, so to speak, at times.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. So as a fly fisherman, now I'm not one in particular, but I've been around a few in my day, and I hear them talk sometimes about, you know, the place they go mentally when they're doing that. Do you find any similarities between the music world and when you're out there kind of doing your thing?
For me, it's, you know, they're kind of the same mindset. Very different as far as like how I interact with them and what they mean for my personal life. But, you know, for me, I don't think I would be able to write honest songs if I'm not being honest with my other passions and my other hobbies and, you know, trying to fulfill all aspects of my life. So if I'm not fishing, it's, you know, for months on end, it's usually a concerning time, you
sure.
know, as far as songwriting and all that stuff. You know, I think they're very intertwined.
Right. So in this time period, switching gears a little bit, because when you said if you don't get a chance to be fly fishing, have you had much experience? Obviously, you're here playing this show, but have you done much touring yet to where the fly fishing's had to take a back seat?
No, but I hope it will at some point. Yeah, I hope that does happen. But, you know, a lot of the dates have been one-offs or, you know, gigs booked up, you know, one show a week so I can drive to different states
sure.
and fish in between. But, you know,
yeah.
I really do think even if it was like a tour where it was, you know, show every day for months on end, I would figure out a way to get it.
You'd make it happen.
I'd make it happen.
Well, the good news is if you come to this area again, you've got plenty of opportunity
exactly.
At the various rivers
I've been
around
fishing
here.
All over here.
Yeah, so you already
amazing.
Know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
Where'd
amazing.
You go?
I went to the Matulias River and, you know, tried to fish for some bull trout.
Same
and
stage then, you played on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And then East Lake, which is, I guess is... I don't know if it's south of Bend. See, that's where I don't want to get things wrong. I'm not going to act like I'm a local.
That's okay. Just names are fine.
Yeah, East Lake and Matulias River.
Yeah. Did you catch anything?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Some, yeah, just brown trout and different species and
nice.
Stuff.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Well, this is probably an extremely difficult question to ask, and maybe a better way to frame it would be, I was going to do the classic, where do you see yourself? But, like, maybe versus where you see yourself, where would you like to go, say, in the next 3 to 5 years? What are your goals?
So, like, for me, as long as I'm content and with the music that I'm putting out and I think it's genuine to me and I'm not having any, you know, outward influences that are dishonest, I think that's all I can really ask for as far as music goes. You know, I think the whole idea of growth in music is kind of weird because some people judge it by how many audience members do you have or some
right.
people judge, you know, but for me, it's hard to judge it by that. It's more of a cerebral feeling for me
mm-hmm.
than, you know, I love playing live but playing live for me, you know, sometimes it's based off the audience, but a lot of times it's based off just playing with my band and like being able to play live music with them and, you know, relax with them and do all that stuff. I'm kind of going on a rant here, but...
That's fine. That's what podcasts are for.
You know, exactly. But it is really that thing where as long as I'm being honest to myself and writing songs that I believe in and that, you know, not even necessarily can relate to because, you know, sometimes I write songs from different perspectives and different, you know, realms. But as long as I'm being honest to that and serving the song first, I'll be okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I've got a couple classic questions, and again, being as new to guitar and not necessarily as gear heavy as some people, this first one might be a little out of your wheelhouse, but we'll go for it since it's a classic question anyway. So that question would be, what is your favorite Boss pedal?
The tuner.
The tuner's like the most popular answer.
Yeah.
TU-2, TU-3. It works. It always does the thing,
tuner.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, this one's a little bit more intensive and a little more to it.
All right.
And it has nothing to do with gear, but it is an
Bring
important
it.
Question regardless. What is your favorite kind of pizza?
Oosh. Pepperoni.
Just straight up pepperoni?
Straight up.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Consistency.
Thin crust, thick crust, favorite pizzeria, anything?
Thin yes. crust. There's a place called the Pie Hole in Missoula, Montana. That's amazing.
The Pie Hole in Missoula, Montana.
It's a pretty shout out. It's amazing.
I'm going to have to check that out. Missoula is not a town I've ever been to, but I've heard it's incredible.
It's pretty amazing.
You spent a lot of time there?
Well, I was going to go to college there. I did go to college there for a month and before I dropped out to do music. Sorry, Mom, but yeah.
Hey, your mom's here. She must be she pretty supportive of the whole thing, right?
Yeah, you know, whether she's lying or not. No, I'm kidding. She's the best. She's been a huge, both my parents have been huge supporters of me pursuing this.
And, you know, this I didn't expect to go here, but like since you brought it up, was that a difficult conversation to have with your family? Like, hey, I know I just got to Missoula for college, but.
I mean, for me, they were very understanding. And, you know, my dad's a visual artist and my mom's very, you know, she's. Her whole career was education. She did a study abroad programs and stuff. So she gets different learning types and different, you know, how people think and all that. And she really, and both my parents understand how I think, and it kind of just made sense. They kind of trusted me, and I'm very appreciative for it. But it wasn't a hard conversation. They were very supportive.
That's great. That's really great. Well, man, I'm super glad to have gotten to meet you. And it was a great, great show you guys put on. And I hope you have safe travels and enjoy the rest of your time in Oregon. How much longer are you here?
Thank you. We're going to leave Tuesday. I'm going to go fish tomorrow. And
oh, then sweet.
Leave.
You're here for a while then.
Exactly.
Very nice. Where are you guys staying?
We're staying just down in Bend at a hotel. You know,
I love Bend. It's one of my favorite towns.
Yeah.
Have fun while you're here.
I will.
All right, dude. Sure. Thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate
All right,
it.
Everybody. Good luck and good tones. Oh, look, we got photos. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. There is my episode with Calder Allen. Make sure you go check him out on the interwebs wherever you get your music, and make sure that you start following Farewell Fest because the lineup's going to drop pretty soon, I think. I don't know that for a fact. They haven't told me that, but it feels like it. I feel like the teasers are coming. I feel like it's about to happen. And if it's even half as good as it was last year, it's something you're not going to want to miss. So don't miss it. Go pay attention to what they're doing. Big shout out to Bailey at Farewell Fest for having me out. Thank you so much again for everything you did. You really helped out a lot and I appreciate it. And thank you again to everyone for listening and for hanging out. I really appreciate you. Thank you for everything you do. And I'll talk to you on the internet very, very soon. One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously, seriously, seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple. And his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast. A songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, And I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts. And new episodes come out every Monday.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.